Hello and welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school. Today I'm delighted to welcome you as we preview the 2023-24 winter sports season. We're recording this podcast in early December, and already the winter sports season is off to a great start. I'm told that we have a record number of boys participating, and as you'll hear, several of the winter teams have their eye on state championships, just like the great championships we had in football and cross country this fall. In this podcast, Mark Weedman of our communications staff and Kenny Scholl, Executive Director of Athletics and Special Assistant to the Head of School, sit down with our coaches of our winter sports teams and talk about the upcoming season. Let's join them in the Sports and Activities Center.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Mark Weedman with the Communications Department here at Macaulay, and we're here for the Winter Sports Podcast with our coaches from swimming, basketball, wrestling, squash, and our athletic director, Kenny Scholl, is going to fill in for Josh Dietrich on bowling. Kenny, we're coming off a very successful fall season, and how do you look at the winter sports calendar?
Very excited. Just based on the level of work that we saw going on in the preseason, the guys returning from last year, some new guys coming in who we think will contribute. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be one of the best winter seasons we've had athletically in years, and that's across the board. And that goes from swimming and bowling, basketball, wrestling, squash, climbing. Very excited and looking forward to spend a lot of time indoors watching our guys compete. All right, to my left here, Coach Stan Corcoran, who is known throughout the country as one of the premier swim coaches, does a wonderful job with our program. It's kind of program that swimmers from all over the Southeast and even beyond know about and are interested in. And Stan has a very promising year coming with some nationally ranked swimmers, and so we're very excited about that.
And they're the defending state champs.
Indeed, certainly we'll be in the hunt once again. And then Coach Steve Robinson, our head varsity basketball coach. Team's off to a great start this year, undefeated up until this past weekend, and a close region loss. But these guys are coming together as a team, very talented, well coached, play very hard on defense, and certainly have found a way to score. I like this team because they kind of lull teams into thinking they have a chance, and then they have this run, and the game is kind of over after that, so it's been fun. Jake Yost, our wrestling coach. Jake has worked very hard. Wrestling is an unusual sport in that you kind of have to grow up doing it. And so he has worked very hard with the boys coming in that had interest in the program. We've had some new wrestlers come in who we think are going to contribute greatly. Some of those guys are even in the eighth grade. But there's a wonderful culture in our wrestling program, great staff, and so we're very proud of them. And then Coach Dan Sharplin, who in just a few short years has taken our program from being literally a novice program to being one that now our people are asking, because they've not seen us at any of the tournaments, particularly in the Northeast, who is Macaulay School and where are they from? The only bad thing about our success is that we keep putting up ending up in a higher and higher flight where it's even more competitive. But that's okay. I think we'll be ready to respond. And then bowling has had a great season. They're coming off a season where they only lost two matches all year. As we know, bowling is a little bit like golf in that you never know what it's going to be in any given day. But even though some of our guys learn to bowl by watching YouTube videos, they are very competitive, and they'll have a shot at the state.
And they have great uniforms.
They do have great uniforms. That's right. It's the only one where they kind of can get off our branding just ever so slightly with the color because of what's available. But, it's fun.
And the bowling shoes are great.
The bowling shoes are great, and these guys have their own shoes. I've never had bowling shoes. I've always rented mine, but they bring their own gear, so that's good.
That's impressive. All right, guys, we're coming off a fall season where cross country won a fifth straight state title. Football won a fourth title in 5 years. There's certainly a culture of winning here. And for all of you with your individual sports, how does that winning and that culture that your athletes see from those athletes affect you on a daily basis? We'll start with Steve Robeson.
Pressure versus motivation. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think it really helps, you know, when you get to see firsthand with all the games how well our football team executes and the discipline and the work ethic, because, you know, we start practicing when they're still out there at night, you know, getting reps in, getting ready for the next game. I think that helps our guys in a way. I think that their success is motivating to a lot of our guys. I know our guys want to go through the same feeling, going into the region tournament, getting to the state tournament, playing games of that magnitude. Certainly motivates them day in and day out for practice. Their success is great. Adds a little bit of pressure, probably underlying pressure to the guys. You don't want to be the program that doesn't keep it going. But I think it's a benefit to have that and to see that, and because we certainly talk about it. You know, these guys, you don't win a football state championship by luck. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of coaching. Kids have to listen. Kids have to execute. And you know, so for us, it's common talk for us. You know, the standard that's been set is really something to aim for, and certainly something that our goals, you know, are set for.
Stan, you won the state last year. You've won the state several years. How do you view that?
Well, we're very fortunate in the fact that our number one competition in dual meets is Baylor, and our number one competition at the state meet is Baylor. So it's pretty easy to get our kids motivated to swim fast against them, and they are year in, year out, one of the best teams in the country. So it's nice to have that built in town. I know our kids were real excited about the football game. We were at a swimming meet and sat in the breakfast room and watched the game on a laptop in the breakfast room with the whole team there. And it was exciting, and they loved it. And, you know, I don't know that we have any extra pressure because they won or because of track. We kind of just stay focused on Baylor and trying to do our own thing. And, you know, that's as much motivation as we need at this point.
Jake, with the wrestling program, you're going to have an influx of football players join the team now. And how does that affect the team, and how does it motivate the team?
We probably have the most shared athletes with football. We'll have more than 10, probably not quite 20, that come into the room, and we benefit greatly from that. I mean, they come into the room full of excitement. They come into the room with a lot of confidence. They come into the room with a lot of good leadership from football, and I think that rubs off on our other guys. I mean, I think it already, they've only been in the practice room a week, and already our practices, the intensity is so much better than it was even just a week ago. So we're super excited to have them, and congrats to the football team for a great year.
And Jake, how many of those football players will have a chance to maybe win the state in their weight divisions?
It's really early on in the season. Carson Gentle definitely has a shot. There's some others that will also have an opportunity, but we probably will have four or five kids in the starting lineup from that state championship team. So that's, you know, more than a third of our lineup. So we're super thankful that they're, you know, in there and on the team.
Dan, I don't think there are a lot of football players on the squash team. But
not really, no.
You've had a lot of success early on, and as Kenny said, you have to move up divisions as you succeed, and how many divisions have you moved up since the program started?
I think year on year we've moved up from Division 7 to Division 5 to Division 3, and this year I fully expect us to be in Division 1, especially after this past weekend. We travelled up to Philly. We played some of the top teams in the country. We played probably the number one team in the country right now and the number two team in the country. They're a little too good for us right now, but we learned a lot from the experience, and I thought the kids really played well this weekend. We had a very close match with the number six team in the country. We went down to them, but it was very competitive, and then we beat the number 12 team in the country. So that was a big win for us.
And Dan, what's the makeup of your team in terms of seniors, juniors, sophomores? You're a fairly young team, aren't you?
We actually have four seniors this year. We have a couple of juniors, one sophomore, and two freshmen. So it's a good mix. And again, I think this year, you know, playing the level of competition that we've got lined up, I think it's really going to help the guys to come on a lot and get a lot more experienced.
And every day you can drive by that squash facility, and it's getting closer and closer to being finished. What is the date now for when it'll be finished?
We're talking April, May. Obviously, I'm hoping April. But that's obviously for us, it's very, very exciting. And we're hoping that the program can really go to the next level. I know the kids on the team are very excited with the possibility of training every day without the logistics to get to Scenic City Squash Club. But all in all, I think it's going to be so good for our program.
And if you could tell the listeners, how many courts will be in that new facility, and what are the potential for us to host a big tournament?
We're going to have 8 courts, which for the high school level is actually quite a large facility. A lot of the facilities in the Northeast are sort of in the 4 to 6 court range. So to have an 8-court facility down here in the Southeast is just unbelievable. And I know there's a lot of excitement with US Squash. They want to give us some big tournaments to host. And even this past weekend, I know that some of the top teams are very, very interested to come down and play us. So that's going to be great for the school.
Jake, if you could talk about the recent Macaulay Invitational and how y'all fared in that tournament. I think is what, 39 years old now? Or
I think this year was the 41st. So there was 40 teams that showed up. Our boys showed up in a big way. We got 9 to the semifinals on Friday night and had 3 on the backside, and finished on Saturday with 9 placers, and actually won the tournament over a tough team from Pennsylvania, Burl High School, and I think Brentwood High School out of Nashville took 3rd. We had one champion, Dylan Villers, who's the son of a state champion from the 80s, and 2 other finalists in Axel Ritchie and Carson Gentle. Carson Gentle wrestled a really, really tough kid out of Georgia who was a Fargo champion this past summer and almost beat him on a week of practice. So he's doing a really, really good job. And the tournament was great. We had a lot of parent support and support from the administration, and Tom Herring did a great job running the tournament. So it was a good showing for our team, and we're young, and I was not surprised by our success, but I do feel like we're a little bit ahead of where I thought we'd be right now, which is encouraging.
Yeah, one thing too, I don't want to single out anyone, but as we all know, Carson Gentle just ended his football season. Two-way player, played on all the special teams, arguably should have been Tennessee Mr. Football. That's all I'll say about that. But he comes out there after virtually no practice, and I watched his match. And wrestling shape's a little different from football shape, isn't it, Jay?
For sure, yeah. For sure. But surprisingly enough, that kid's determination and will is almost unmatched. I mean, the other kid has probably – I mean, I think he was also a football player, but their team had been out for a couple of weeks, so I'm sure he's been in the practice room, and on just a week or so of practice, Carson, you know, really put him to the test. And it was a fun match to watch.
And Steve Carson's not a bad basketball player, is he?
No. And we'll leave that door open if he wants to come set a couple screens for us. And, you know, that was fun last year, having him just be around our guys. And you know, it says something about a kid who's willing to do something that he's not comfortable with, you know, and he doesn't have a whole lot of basketball experience. And, you know, we kind of figured that out a little bit last year, but he certainly – effort wise, you know,
he's pretty good on the boards, isn't he?
He was good, and he can set a mean screen, and you know, he does. He's very coachable, right? So he does anything he's capable of doing, and anything you're asking him to do, you know. And certainly, if I'm guarding him, I don't want to have to fight him for a rebound either.
Stan, the swimming tournament, state tournament, is usually what, late February. You brought up off the air a little bit about guys going home for Christmas, maybe not all of them training as hard as they should. How quick a turnaround is that to get them in peak shape once they come back after Christmas?
Well, it's a really tough sport. It's an aerobics-based sport. And, you know, I told our team, I said, if you, you know, don't swim during exams and you don't swim during Christmas – and you are out of the country or gone for T-term, you know, your season's pretty much over. There's no way you're going to be able to recover in 4 weeks. And that's our biggest obstacle to overcome is, you know, we had last year, we had four or five kids that left the Wednesday of exams, and the next time I saw them was January 16th. And they did an internship at home for T-term, and especially in our case, you know, if they're not swimming or they don't have a pool or they don't have a program, you know, and they can't get in the water, it's hard to overcome that with a five-week stretch. And I don't really know what the answer is. You know, we'll have some kids that do a great job. We'll have some kids that do an okay job, and we'll have some kids that'll do a really poor job. And it just – it's tough. We've got Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, winter break, T-term, we have all of that in our season. And again, you know, like basketball, they can go out and shoot baskets somewhere. You know, with us, if you don't have access to a swimming pool, it's really hard. And again, it's an aerobic-based sport.
Stan, how many of your guys will return from that state title team a year ago?
We had like 25 guys in the state meet last year, swimmers and divers. We lost all five of our divers. Last week, we had three divers qualify for state. Last year, there were only 15 divers in the meet and 16 score. So we had five graduate, and there was two other that graduated. So right now, there's only eight returning divers, and we've got three in the meet. So that's a big plus for us. On the swimming side, we are way better than we were last year. We're four deep in every event. We're pretty solid across the board. We had like seven or eight new kids come in, and they all are at the national level. So that's pretty exciting.
You know, the thing about, I think we probably ought to say about, on behalf of all of these coaches, for the winter coaches, the vacations are a challenge. And now that we've added T-term, which is a wonderful thing for a boy, it's part of McCauley and part of, you know, educating the whole boy and being innovative in our approach to academics and learning and lifelong learning. But we do partner as much as we can to try to make the dorms accessible, you know, when we can, and to try to help these guys do their multitasking and train and still have the time to take advantage of all things that a lot of things that McCauley does offer, and Stan and these guys bear the brunt of that. But the kids have responded in years past, and coaches do a wonderful job, including Coach Anderson, our strength coach, in tapering the guys and loading the guys and knowing exactly the rhythm of that as well. Probably ought to mention two things real quick, since I am representing two coaches here today. Coach Josh Dietrich, our bowling coach, is out sick, and then our climbing coach, Jake Aldemus, is giving an exam. We're in exam week here. The climbing team's undefeated in their young season. And we mentioned bowling a little bit earlier, but their state championship will be January 17th. And so not sure how much tapering you have to do in bowling, a little different. But I know that they'll keep at it.
Got to weed off those notches.
You do. And but, you know, really, the one of the quick points is that finding space to bowl now, and for kids to get on the golf course, and for boys to be able to swim, it's a challenge out there. It is, and it's something we support them and try to help with as best we can.
We kind of are on the cusp of the Christmas holidays here, and I wonder how many of you will have organized practices during the holiday season, and we're a boarding school. How does that work for our boarders? Do some of them stay? Do they come back early? Do we play without them? How does this work? Steve, I'll start with you.
We try to, as a basketball program, we try to give them as much time away from the school as we can. This is still high school versus the college level, where, you know, it's more of a job and they kind of own you, and it's kind of expected to participate over the holidays. I try to get them away from me, get them away from the coaches, get them away from each other just for breaks. So Thanksgiving, you know, we kind of do as much as we can, but also with giving them enough time to get away. So Thanksgiving, you know, we played on Monday and Tuesday, and then they had the rest of the week off to be with their families. Gives them enough time to go home if they are a boarder. Christmas is going to be very similar. We play the Friday and Saturday after exams, and then they're gone. Like, they're gone. They get to go home. They get to enjoy, you know, being at home. Meanwhile, hopefully still keeping up with conditioning, maybe getting into a gym and working on their stuff. But then they come back. They're all coming back the day after Christmas, which is not ideal. But we participate in the best of preps, which is the weekend after Christmas. So we'll have a couple practices leading up to that. But the kids really enjoy that event. It's a local event, Chattanooga, and, you know, it just has good turnouts. It's a fun environment for the kids, and it kind of gets them ready for that next step to come after, you know, when we get into region play and you go to a Baylor game, and now it's everybody's packed. So
we've had some success in that event.
Yeah, we have. Last year, I think we lost in the finals. Previous couple years, I think we've won. You know, so we're looking this year. Should be fun for us. I think we have a good chance to compete. And so, you know, just having that right after, you know, makes it a little bit easier to come back. So we have, you know, a handful of guys that will have to come back early from their home. Rest are from around here. So, you know, they don't want to miss that. They don't want to miss that. They enjoy it, so they'll make the plans, and you know, we'll take care of them.
Jake?
Wrestling program-wise, we kind of feel the same way as basketball does. They've got to get some time off, you know, especially some of the boarders that haven't seen their families in several weeks. So how we kind of handle it is the boys will stick around for a few days after exams, and we will go to some of them will go to a tournament. I think we'll dismiss them on the 22nd, and they'll have off from the 22nd all the way until we come back on the 3rd. Now, we'll have some – the local kids will come in, and we'll run some workouts between Christmas and New Year's, but we don't compete between Christmas and New Year's. I just don't think that's a very good time, and it makes it hard on the families. So we wait, and we won't compete again until the 5th of January. So they get a good – the boarders will get a good week and a half, and the day students, and hopefully, like everyone, hopefully they're working out at home a little bit and trying to, you know, keep up, but also getting the opportunity to spend time with their family, and then we'll run workouts for the day students that are in town.
Dan, what about you and squash?
You know, the squash tournaments go all year round. All of these kids are trying to build their ranking, which means they need to stay in shape the whole year round. These days, it's pretty brutal. You know, you have to have some downtime here and there, but you know, if you really want to play college squash or you're aspiring to be a pro, you need to be trying to build that ranking and plan all of these events that are all year round.
Stan, will the pool be open for your swimmers during Christmas?
Yes. Somebody asked me about our season, and I said it started August 14th, and it goes until August 7th. So we got a week off there in the middle of August, and we will practice once or twice a day over Christmas every day. We have Christmas Eve off because it's a Sunday, and we have Christmas off because it's a Monday. And then we, same thing, we have New Year's Eve off because it's a Sunday, and Chris, we might have the first off. I'm not sure. I have some boarders that might come back, so we may have a practice on the first. But it's like I said, it's an aerobic-based sport, and if you want to do well, you can't take 10 days off over Christmas.
Kenny, sounds like we've got some dedicated coaches here.
Always. These guys are incredible, and we're blessed to have them at Macaulay School. They bring all of the things that you want in a coach, the knowledge and skill set, and but also the character and the work ethic, and they're connectors. The kids love them.
Well, guys, thank you so much for doing this, and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, guys. Get some time, but keep them rolling.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from you, our listeners, is what allows us to bring you these podcasts, and more importantly, to provide Macaulay students with a world-class education and to attract and retain the great teachers, coaches, and counselors that make Macaulay such a special place. Thanks for your support. And if you have comments on this podcast or any other of our growing number of podcasts, let us hear from you. Thanks for listening.